All right, so tonight begins. Tonight begins. Rosh Chodesh. Did I say Moshe Yartzeit? I have somehow an aliyah. Really? Did I say Moshe Yartzeit? Yeah? I knew I was messing with it. Why can we make Rosh Chodesh Nidcha? So I knew, I remember Rabbi Mayevsky's mother very well. She was the principal with Mrs. Shechter. Mrs. Shechter? What? Oh, the Reish Rav. He's making a very good point. The Reish Rav. My family observed the yard site on the sixth day of Tammuz. My cousin, he's a genius, my cousin, legendary to show, his name is Yitzhak Levine. He's the family chronicler. Is that the right word? He's the mumche. And he claims, he told me that the real yard site after new information has come to light is on Rosh Chodesh Av. So you say, is Rosh Chodesh Av? Yeah, because he claims that after new things have come to light in recent years, they've discovered new things. He claims that the yard site is also on Rosh Chodesh Av. Maybe I should say Kaddish.
Babav has it on Dalet or Hay.
Right, they was together with the Bava Rebbe. He died. Right, so I don't know the details. He knows details. The Bava Rebbe, he was together with him. They were not necessarily killed at the same time. He was together with the Bava Rebbe when he was killed by the Ukrainians, and I don't know. He has the information. I don't remember. He once explained everything to me. I don't know. Thank you for reminding me. All right, but let's go back. Let's discuss this. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Av, and one of the halachos that kicks in tonight are all the laws of the 9 days. Until now, during the 3 weeks, basically there aren't that many restrictions during the 3 weeks. I mean, there's a minute you don't shave. Okay, that is a custom. That is a custom, not to shave, and it's not a very intense minute because if someone needs to shave, there's a lot of room for leniency. But once you come to the 9 days, then you're coming over here into a much more serious territory. There are people that
the night count?
Yes, it is our custom. It is our custom.
Can you handle laundry tonight?
No, you cannot. You cannot. No. It's our custom. That Rosh Chodesh, there's no dispensation for it being Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, all of the restrictions apply, even not allowed to eat meat, and you're not allowed to wear freshly laundered garments. What? No, you have to stop. You have to stop. It's very strict. It's interesting how strict it is. You have to stop. Even a Sudas Mitzvah, well, a Siyam. A Siyam, no, this week.
Or a Bris.
A Bris, correct. Tomorrow, Mechol, you make a Bris. Mazel Tov to Mechol and his family on the Bris. Everyone is invited. I'm a legally Ein Arach Machnus Arach, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm inviting everyone to the Bris tomorrow.
Just don't tell them where it is.
What? Just
the
what?
Just tell them where it is.
It'll be Zoom.
It's in Rabbi Spitzer Shul. Don't worry. I'm not. Yeah, but hey, you're coming to the Bris tomorrow? Come pick me up?
Yeah. Burgers.
What?
Burgers for breakfast.
Okay, so. So Amir Tzashem, we want to wish you a Mazel Tov, a Michal, and a great grandchild. And you shall have only Nachas and Bracha, and one Simcha shall lead to another, by you and by everyone here and everyone in Klal Yisrael. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let's start. So tonight begins the restrictions of the 9 days. What are the? Let's review. What have been the restrictions thus far? Well, there's a minhag not to shave, not to take haircuts, and including that is not to shave. It does not appear to be a very stringent restriction, because the laws of the 3 weeks are relatively minor. There is the only other restriction of the 3 weeks besides shaving is haircuts, and shaving is not to do something that would require you to make a birchas shehechiyonu. That's really it. A shechiyanu. What is a shechiyanu? If when you buy a new suit, you make a shechiyanu, then don't buy a new suit. But if when you buy a new suit, you don't make a shechiyanu, because today the laws of shechiyanu is a very fascinating topic, because there's a very great degree of diversity in Klal Yisrael over when you make a shechiyanu. There are certain people that love to make brachas, and they have no problem making brachas. Any opportunity they have will make a bracha. And then there's another group of people that are very, that will do anything in their power not to make a bracha. They're terrified with the prohibition of the Moitzi Shem Shemayim Levatol. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Leisisa Eshem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. When you really find this very common, you see the difference in people's attitudes is when they travel by plane. They go to Eretz Yisrael, and do they make a Birchas HaGoynel? A Birchas HaGoynel when they travel by airplane. So there are some people, if they travel by helicopter to Lakewood, they'll make a Shechel, they'll travel anywhere. Anywhere they go, and even America, they'll go travel to Boston. Go to Boston, get on the shuttle. Okay, it used to be very popular. Now it's too expensive to go, but it used to be people would go to Boston, to Washington. There would be like a shuttle to go. You go to LaGuardia, and you're there in half an hour, 45 minutes. You're there in Washington or in Boston. So every time you go to Boston and Washington, you're working in the industry, you have to travel often to Boston and Washington. Obviously, there are a lot of people who do this because they just have literally a flight going to Boston and Washington every half an hour. Unbelievable. Between the two airlines, between the main airlines, I will fly, you mamish, I'm just walking without any ticket, and you describe it, I once did it. Because I have family in Boston, you don't have to have any tickets, you just go to the airport, you swipe your credit card, it's a kiosk, you don't even have to go talk to anyone. You talk to one, you walk into the airport, there's a special terminal to go to Boston, you swipe your credit card, a ticket comes out, and you go there to depart. And there are too many people, so you're waiting for the next plane, every half an hour. Unbelievable. So you get on an airplane, you land in Boston. What do? You make Birchas HaGoymel. Birchas HaGoymel. You come back, you make Birchas HaGoymel again.
Why?
You went on an airplane. You travel. It's a dangerous thing to travel on an airplane. It's like a ship. It's like traveling on a ship. You're traveling.
It's dangerous to drive the car.
Okay, so therefore, you're saying it's very good. Exactly. That is why people will tell you. People have come along and they say, no. You travel to Boston, like you said, Mr. Mills, it's more dangerous to walk down the city, a street in New York City, to walk down in the middle of the day than it is to go on an airplane to Boston. Therefore, that's not what Chazal had in mind. You don't make a Birchas HaGoymel, it's a Bracha Levatol. Okay, what about if you travel over water? You travel over a body of water? You travel to Mississippi? You travel over, the Hudson? Then you're going over water, so then already you have to make a Bracha. Let's say you go to over the ocean, travel to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, over the ocean. Oh, that's not so pashut. So how many brachas do you make? Well, one when you arrive and one when you come back. No, that's too much. One when you come back. Only one bracha when you come back. But if I go and I travel from New York to California, 6-hour flight. Not that you don't make a bracha. You have not traveled over an ocean. And then there are people that will go to Eretz Yisrael, and come back, and you say, oh, you came back from Eretz Yisrael, we should give you an aliyah so you can make Birchas HaGoymel. And they'll say to you, I don't do that. I don't do that. That's not how I've been trained. When you go to Eretz Yisrael on an airplane, and you come back, I don't make a Birchas HaGoymel, because statistically, it's safer than whatever, like Mr. Miller says, the statistics are that it's not in the world today to be considered dangerous, and therefore I don't say the Shem Hashem Levatala for no reason whatsoever. So you have the diversity of making a Birchas HaGoymel today is really very, very broad. Okay, most people I think are somewhere in the middle where they'll make a Birchas HaGoymel on a return flight. When you go to Eretz Yisrael and you come back 3 weeks later, then you'll make one Birchas HaGoymel for your flight traveling over the Yam.
Because it's one continuous
trip. One trip.
And
one
trip. Not going to make any Tfilas Aderech along the way. In other words, only one.
That's
and
another then, story. Making a Tfilas Aderech with the Shiva Malchus. Okay, I'm just using this, not that our shul is about that. Just a point of illustration is that there is, today it's very common to go to a shul that's busy, a shul that's vibrant, and there are people, young people that are going back and forth on trips. And they're coming back. How often do you hear people making a bracha, the Shem Malchus, Birchas HaGoymel? There's diversity. There is a difference of opinion. You see it. Different people have different.
And you don't need an aliyah.
What? You don't need an aliyah. Are you believing without an aliyah? There's a different mahalich. There are different opinions in this matter, and everyone does whatever they've been taught to do. The same thing is very, very true, even to a greater degree, with reciting a Shehech Yonu. Shehech Yonu is this extremely complicated bracha. To make a Shehech Yonu, generally you need to be in a state, you need a special state of joy. Let's say you have made a purchase, which the average person does have enormous joy and satisfaction, that he comes come to a point in his life who is able to acquire, make this acquisition, but you personally are not so happy about it. You're not happy about it because it costs too much for you, you really can't afford it, and really it's a matter of necessity, and you're not really happy with the purchase, whatever the reason is, or you're just in a miserable mood, you have things in your life that are bothering you, and you're just not a happy person. We're in Golus, we have problems, and people are very stressed out for all different reasons. Even though you bought a new car, you didn't finance it, you paid cash, or you bought yourself a very expensive suit, whatever it is, and a regular person would look at you and they'll think, wow, you're so lucky you're able to do this, but you're a miserable person for whatever the reasons, that things are bothering you. Do you make a shechianu on this acquisition? It's not so simple. It's a machlekes ha'poskim. Do you actually have to feel the joy, or do you have to do something which is considered in the eyes of the world something for which you should be making a shechianu? There is no resolution to this question, machlekes ha'poskim, and it's a personal matter. And you see, by many B'nai Torah, they shy away from making a shechianu more often than not, unless they really are happy with themselves and their acquisition and what they have acquired. They'll find for you many excuses why they're not going to make a shechianu. In ancient times, or not even so long ago, a person he bought a suit once in 10 years. And today, there are people who go, so say you buy an expensive, when you go buy a suit for business, you go buy a suit for $200, $300. Is that something which gives a person such satisfaction where he should make a shechianu? Well, many people will tell you no, and they don't make a shechianu. If that's the case, are you allowed to buy such a suit which you will not make a shechianu? I'm going to go buy a new suit. It's on sale for $200 on Amazon. I know my exact size, and I pay cash, and I buy a new suit, and it comes perfectly tailored, because today you can do that on Amazon. You have to learn how to do it, and you get exactly what you want, and it arrives a new suit. According to Shulchanach, you should make a shechianu. And yet many places will tell you that today you don't make a shechianu. So if you're not going to make a shechianu, are you allowed to make an acquisition during the 9 days? So the answer basically is yes and no. What's the dilemma? What's the dilemma?
If
what's the dilemma? The dilemma is, really, me'ikar hadin, you should make a shechianu on a new suit. You really should. Are you going to do practically? No. Your problem of not, you who are not making a shechem because you're a millionaire and a $200 suit to you is a drop in the bucket. So that's your problem. That you have a technical problem why you will not be making a shechem. And therefore, so what? That does not change the law. The law is that when you buy a new suit, it is in essence something which gives you joy. And really, you should make a shechem. You have a technical handicap why you can't make that shechianu. But it is be'etzem something to celebrate. If theoretically there is a requirement to make a shechianu, that is enough to prevent you from doing so during the Bein HaMitzarim. If that's how you understand the halacha. But if you understand the halacha that it's a matter of bottom line, am I making a shechianu? No. Why not? I'm rich. At least I make believe I'm rich. And $200 suit is no big deal, so I'm not going to make the shechianu. Bottom line, I'm not making a shechianu. Okay, so go buy it. Then the restriction of the Bein HaMitzarim does not apply. You're permitted to buy the new suit and to wear it. I mean, now you're getting the freshly laundered suit. That's another issue. But let's talk about the main problem of the shechianu. So this is a dilemma. A dilemma amongst the Paiskim, what are the restrictions of making new acquisitions, of buying new appliances, of buying a new car, of buying even a used car? It's also you can make a shechianu theoretically. Is it a matter of, if this is an object which, according to the letter of the law, you would be required to recite a shechianu? And if something which you would be required according to the technical law, you're not allowed to do during the Bein HaMitzarim, then you can't do these things during the Bein HaMitzarim. But if you look at the halach of the Bein HaMitzarim as being more practical and bottom line, so today there are many places that are telling people, when you buy a new car, don't make a shechianu. When you buy a new suit, don't make a shechiyon. Because shechiyon really demands a unique degree of joy. And today people don't have that. We don't see people really having that. People are so consumed with other issues. And it's enough to make a shechiyanu the times when we must make a shechiyanu. On the moadim, like we make kiddush, all of the moadim we make a shechiyanu, we make a shechiyanu. There are certain times you make a shechiyanu. Don't overdo it. So if you are following that pattern, which not everyone follows, you know, everyone is different, but if you are that type of person that's not going to make a shechiyanu when you buy a suit because your rabbi told you, you know, I know you make six figures, and when you buy a $200 suit, I don't think you should make a shechiyanu, you don't seem to be such a happy person anyway, then, practically speaking, I'm not making a shechiyanu. I'm not making a shechiyanu, I might as well buy it during the Bein HaMetzarim. This is the dilemma. Okay, so it's machlokes what to do. So there are different arguments. Now, when it comes to the 9 days, there's one more issue. It's not an issue we're dealing with an appliance, or a car, or even buying a smartphone. When you buy a smartphone, Meir, did you make a shechiyanu when you bought a new smartphone? Why? It costs a lot of money. Person buys an iPhone. An iPhone is very expensive. iPhone costs $500. So people, everyone today has a smartphone. Costs a lot of money.
That's
nothing to do how you mean for one day. You buy a suit, you're going to wear it for your child, you never wear a suit. My child told me, if I don't wear a suit by his wedding, then don't come to the wedding. So I want to go to the wedding. I know a guy like this. I know someone never, ever wears a tie. He never, ever, even if his life, he never wears a tie. And he was honored by a yeshiva. Gave a lot of money to a yeshiva, and he was the guest of honor. So his friends told him, you know, you better wear a tie. So he wore a tie. He actually wore it, and he told someone, this is the second time in my life I wore a tie. I wore it by my wedding, and now when they honored me by this yeshiva, because I'm very devoted to this yeshiva, I wore a tie. I wore a tie for the pictures. I wore a tie. Okay, so there are people that you say they never wear a suit. They never wear a suit. This is the only time in my life I ever plan on wearing a suit by my child's wedding. Because my child told me, don't embarrass me. Don't come to my wedding not wearing a suit. So I bought a suit for the wedding. I'll never wear it again. So Mary, you didn't tell me you make a shechiyanu? Of course you make a shechiyanu. Of course you make a shechiyanu. Of course, even for one time event, you make a shechiyanu. When you buy an expensive...
And if you rent a tuxedo...
No, you don't. Renting, you don't make a shechiyanu.
And if you buy a tuxedo for one time, you lose because...
Yes. If you own it, even for one moment, one event, you make a shechiyanu. Absolutely.
You say shechiyanu when you buy it or you wear it?
According to the letter of law, when you buy it. When you buy it. But being that today it has to be tailored, usually, and Shabbos tested, so it's not yet complete. So the minig is to wait until you wear it for the very first time. According to the letter of the law, you're supposed to make the shechiyanu when you purchase it, when you swipe the credit card. That's when you're supposed to me'ikar hadin make the shechiyanu, and you technically can if it's already tailored, it's already done, it's already finished. All right, so this is the dilemma of acquisitions. But now when it comes to the 9 days, there's a new halach issue, and that is Chazal made a takana. It's I think it's in the Mishnah. It's in the Mishnah, it's in the Gemara. Freshly laundered clothing. There are two set of prohibitions. Now let's clarify the two things. Number one, you're not allowed to wash clothing. You're not allowed to engage in the activity of laundering clothing. Number two, even if the clothing were laundered before the 9 days and they're fresh, you're not allowed to wear them for the first time. Even if it's not new, freshly laundered, certainly if it's new. Why not? What is the prohibition? So let's explain. The Iker prohibition is primarily cleaning, laundering clothing, and it opens up a whole world of commentary about the 9 days, the Beit HaMitzvah. The reason why you're not allowed to wash your clothing is because it's these are the words of Chazal, Mesiach Das. It takes away your focus from the Avelus of the 9 days. Now, we don't appreciate this, Baruch Hashem, we live in the modern world, and we've been blessed with the most important blessing in the world, a washing machine. It is the greatest blessing in the world, indoor plumbing, a washing machine, where you put something in the machine, and you press a button, and you go away, and it's all done. You come back, and you press another button, and it's dry.
Are you actually washing the clothing?
By pressing the button, you're actually washing the clothing. Yes, so halacha l'maaseh, all the poskim will tell you that you are. That's the bottom line, and you should not look for leniencies in this matter. And that's the way it is in Klal Yisrael. I'm not trying to be machmir. That's the way it is. You're right, you're saying a very good point, but in the time of Chazal, the reason why Chazal instituted that you're not allowed to clean your clothing is nothing to do with having clean clothing. It has to do primarily with this, in the time of Chazal, was an activity that was labor-intensive. A labor-intensive activity to take clothing that are dirty and to soak them in water. You have to go to the well and draw water, break your back and put it in a bucket, take your clothing, put the clothing into this bucket to wring them, to scrape it, to scrub it, to get out all the stains, and then to do it again, to rinse it. Mesiach das. When you are engaging in a labor-intensive activity, your mind is not free to focus on the fact that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed.
So you're zichen al argon.
So you're zichen what?
You're zichen al argon.
Well, if Chazal were alive today, and they would be making the takkanos for the very first time, it is really fascinating. We have no idea. Listen, we literally, if these chachamim who made these takkanos, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, would have been transplanted right now in the year 2022, and look at society, and they would make the takkanos for the 3 weeks, for the 9 days, for halacha, we have no idea, no clue what they would say about the way we live our lives. Because they're not here today, and they did not make the takkanos in the 21st century, they made the takkanos at the time of the Beis HaMikdash in the year 70, okay, or before that, or after that, at some point in time in that realm, or really before, during the time of the Bayi Sheni. So nothing changes. That's Orthodox Jewry. Nothing changes, even though times change. It's very, very difficult to start playing around what they have said, what will they not have said. This is one of the biggest dilemmas in Jewish law of how to adapt to our times. When can we say that the halacha is obsolete? And when do we say a halacha, even though times change, the halacha does not change one iota? People will argue, they will tell you, I heard this, if Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were alive today, they would not allow you to get into a car. They would say, going into a car is sakonis nefashis. I've heard that. No, so they're not around. No one said that it's awesome. No one said that it's awesome. So you can go get a license, go drive all you want, who cares? Right? If Chazal, they'll say, Ushmartin es nafshasechem. We have no idea what they would say. We have no idea. Yichud. So I heard many people say, if Chazal were alive today, more than they would have a prohibition of having yichud, going into a room alone with a married woman. Are you allowed to go into a room with a married woman? Are you allowed to go into a room with a non-married? You're allowed to go into an elevator? An elevator? Many shas, laws of yichud are extremely complex. There's no doubt they would not allow you to have yichud with the computer. Okay? It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Why? It's very logical. It's more what you can do along with the computer. It's obviously theoretically much. You can do a lot more damage to your neshama than what you can do in a room with a woman.
But it's ashishish is the problem.
What would Chazal say? It's irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant because they're not here today. If Chazal were alive today, if these people who enacted all of the takkanos that we have in Chazal would be alive now and they would be transplanted to the 21st century and study society, we'll give them some time to go out and study society and they'll come back and they'll renew all of the takkanos of Chazal, what would they say? We have literally no idea. We have no idea. We probably would have been shocked out of our minds how they would analyze our society and make takanos to protect us to be good Orthodox Jews, religious Jews, shomrei Torah mitzvahs, how they would enact the takanos. But because they're not here today, so it's an irrelevant question. The question is a question of nonsense. We have to deal with what we have. Chazal made takanos in the time of Chazal, And those takanas are here with us now in the 21st century. Which of those takanas are able to be adapted and transformed? And which takanas are remain the way they are? L'chol pirotecha v'diktukecha v'chavrasecha. This is...
Why can't you say Yiftach begoyre k'shmul begoyre?
No, we don't. That principle does not apply once of past the chasimus at Talmud. No, that principle does not apply. That's a limited principle. That's already been explained. That's already been established. Is Yiftach begoyre k'shmul begoyre? There has to at least be a generation where there is divine communication. They were Nevi'im. Yiftach begoyre, they were Nevi'im. They were Nevi'im living up. He was a leader. Today, the Chasimus HaTalmud is a Zman. Once you get to the Goinim, it's over. It's over. That's it. Now we're just gliding. We're on an airplane that has no fuel left, and we're just gliding towards landing, and hoping that the plane doesn't crash somewhere.
Getting back to the original. So the whole purpose of not washing is the Sechtas. So where does not wearing freshly warm itself?
Oh, excellent. So the question, the whole is the activity itself. So this here's the dilemma. This is not so clear, and unfortunately I'm very, very, I'm a criminal when it comes to telling you all the sources. But you're right, it's a very big dilemma. And why tacha can't you wear freshly laundered clothing? So some will tell you that it's an extension. If we're going to allow you to wear freshly laundered clothing, you will come to clean the clothing.
So it's a gzera,
absolutely. And therefore, l'may nafkamina, there's nothing wrong looking your best and wearing be'etzem, good clothing. There's nothing really wrong with wearing fresh and laundered clothing. Nothing really wrong with it. It's just that if we're going to let you wear nice, fancy, fresh and laundered clothing, you may come because of the nisayon to clean it. To clean the clothing.
So, which may lead you to Hesachadas.
Right. And what's wrong with cleaning the clothing? It's not may. Cleaning the clothing, the etzet, is an activity that takes you away from thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. Yes. That's not a gzera l'gzera. Cleaning clothing is an activity. We don't appreciate this. We're spoiled rotten. How many people have clean clothing with their bare hands here in the last 10 years? Probably no one ever rang a garment over here in the last 10 years.
The hand wash that you do in your sink on those fine linens.
On what linens?
On the whatever, fine.
Fine linens? I don't have such fine linens.
What do you use your wool light on?
Okay, I don't know if anyone over here has ever in the last 10 years actually taken a garment and soaked it in water in a tub and wringed it out and rinsed it and done it again and hung it up in your backyard on those clips so all your neighbors can see what you have. I don't think anyone here has done that in the last 10 years. It was spoiled rotten. But in time of Chazal, that's the way it goes. That's life. That's the daily activity. And this is an activity that's labor intensive and it takes you away from your focus during the 9 years. We're so far removed from these kinds because today we think who thinks about Tisha B'Av. No, Erev Tisha B'Av, I'll worry about it. Right? Until we get to Tisha B'Av, I'm not in the mood of thinking about this.
Does this apply to exterior clothing or underwear also?
Underwear not. So now you're getting into other, you're asking very tough questions. This is the question. So in time of Chazal, when Chazal made these takanas, what did they wear? Did they wear undergarments in time of Chazal? It doesn't seem so. Doesn't seem they wore undergarments. They wore a garment.
You can't ask for something.
So that's correct. So, but technically speaking, our undergarments are probably better than some of their outer garments that they wore. Today, you can buy an undershirt. You know, the undershirt. Some of the undershirts you can buy today, and especially when you wear it, can be of better quality, provide you better protection than a person's tunic that he wore 1,000 years ago. I don't know. These are all dilemmas. The bottom line is, it is accepted in the Minigal Oilam where Moshe finds that undergarments, you are allowed to wear freshly laundered undergarments. You are permitted. Permitted. Are you allowed to actually wash them? That's already not so simple. You're not actually wash them. It's not so easy to say that you're allowed to wash them. You don't have to, what?
You don't have enough undergarments for a week.
Okay, so it's a tough question. It's a tough question. You don't have enough. Are you allowed to launder your undergarments? L'chatchila, no. But you don't have to try them on. You know, you have to try. In order that the clothes not be freshly laundered, you have to wear shirts and pants. You have to, if they're freshly laundered, you have to try them on and wear them before the night today. today is the last chance to put on.
You wasn't going to do the laundry today and try on all the clothes?
What?
You have to
try it on, that's right. So do you have to try on all the underwear? You move the next week? No, you do not. You do not have to try on the underwear that you're going to be wearing for the next week. You do not need to do that. But they should be washed before the 9 days. And let's say they were not. Let's say you ran out. Not so simple. Bidiyevin, you can wash them out. Bidiyevin, but it's definitely not. What?
The shirt that you wear for Shabbos,
the shirt that you're going to wear for Shabbos also needs to be worn in preparation for Shabbos Chazon. Yes. The shirt that you're going to wear for Shabbos, yes, it has to be worn even on Shabbos. You're not supposed to wear freshly laundry clothing. Lichatchila. Bidiyevin, then you can be makel on Shabbos, but it's not a lichatchila. The 9 days are very, very strict. The 9 days don't differentiate between Shabbos and Chol. There's no differentiation. So Bidiyevin, that's another solution. Bidiyevin, these are all Bidiyevins. These are all. The answer to every question is, when you have no choice, Abayisai, please. When you have no choice, then there are solutions. You give it to a guy to wear, or you roll it on the floor, you throw it on the floor, and you step on it. This is not the way, this is not a responsible thing to do.
You have a cleaning lady who's a guy, can she do the laundry for you?
No, she cannot. She cannot do the laundry for you.
Shlichos.
When it comes to these matters, we say, yei shliach la'akum. When it comes, it's like Shabbos. Can you tell a guy to turn on the lights? No, you're not allowed to, unless under the most unusual circumstances, there's a chayla, it's a dvar mitzvah, or it's a very unusual circumstance, are you allowed to tell a guy to do a malacha for you? And one of the reasons why amir la'akum is osur, it's an abuse luck, is because when it comes to these matters, we say, yesh shlichos la'akum. If you can't do it, appointing an agent to do it is as if you did it.
If she does have an oath.
Doesn't matter, you're not supposed to be nana from it. No, she's doing it for you. She's not doing it for herself, she's doing it for you, that you should have fresh laundry clothes. You're not allowed to wear fresh laundry clothing. It's awesome, there's no hetter.
But she can launder, not her.
No, you're not allowed to tell her to launder for you.
You don't tell her.
If you don't tell her, she does it on her own, so she did it on her own, but you're not supposed to wear it after she does it. Because it's still called freshly laundered clothing. And you're not supposed to tell her to do it if she did it. The very big, now this halach also applies to linen. Linen. What do you do, Mark, if you go to a hotel? You go to a hotel. So on every day
it's
they come in, the maid comes in every day and they change the linen.
It's
and they
not
give
your
you
linen.
They give you freshly, but you're not allowed to be nene. You're not allowed to benefit from freshly laundered linen. So you're supposed to tell them, don't come in. If you go to a hotel during the 9 days, you're not allowed to change the linen. That's right. You're not allowed to change the linen. And let's say you arrive,
you check in,
it's a very big problem. It really is a very big problem. They use these very extreme heterim that they're doing gemilas chasodim. We have to charge you $1,000 a day, but we're doing you achnosas orchim. That the hotel is doing a mitzvah. They're being machnes orach. They're doing a mitzvah. And when it comes to a mitzvah, you can be lenient and you can let the person use freshly laundered garments and at least linen. And you have nothing else.
That's
you're an oinus. You're an oinus.
That's an interesting statement.
$1,000 a night.
I don't think you are the kind of mitzvah about necessarily if you charge for your own.
That's not correct. I don't believe that's correct. Just because you charge a person, you get
you
the same
get
credit. A doctor, anyone that is a professional, especially a doctor is the best profession. You oisek your entire life in doing chesed. Just because you make a good parnasa, not every doctor makes a good parnasa, but even if you're making a parnasa, engaging in a profession of where you do chesed is gold. When you want to be a marketer and convince people to buy products that they don't need, that's not a good way to spend your life. It's not a good way to spend your life to be an online marketer. That's what I used to do. Online marketing. You spend the whole day convincing people to buy a product that they don't need and to rip them off.
No.
That's not a good profession. It's a good profession to help people, to heal people, to do chesed with people. Just because you get paid, that does not take away from the fact that it's an act of kindness. A person who has a hotel hotel, and people come and they stay, that's hachnosas orchim. Oh, but you're ripping them off, you're charging them a lot more than you should. It's a problem. It definitely is a problem, but you cannot take away from the fact that by people coming to your hotel, you are engaging in an activity that technically is called hachnosas orchim. So providing them with fresh linen is not necessarily this a cool, obviously this is an extreme leniency.
Can you sell it to the guy, the hotel?
Can you sell the hotel to a guy and the guy is now doing
he's doing it, but
it doesn't matter because the person, it doesn't matter because when you're coming to the hotel, you're still telling the hotel. I don't know the answer to this question. This is an old question and it really is a very big problem and there really isn't a real solution because people during the summer, that's what they do. That's people need a vacation. You need it for your mental state. You have to go away. People go away during the 9 days. They used to go to the Homowak. They go to, I don't know, all these hotels up in the country.
Maybe that's why people don't like to travel in the 9 days also.
No, that's because it's dangerous, isn't that? But it's been tradition. It's been tradition by us, Acheinu B'nei Yisrael in America for the last 50 years. In the summertime, people, they go away in the summer. And they go to hotels during the 9 days. And they arrive during the 9 days. And they're there, and they need to go away for their mental health to go away. And this is a big, big problem. Oh, you come to a hotel,
well,
they're not going to give you...
The restaurants, that's when they take vacation.
What?
The restaurants.
Oh, yeah, that's a flesh, because you can't eat meat.
No, but that's when they take vacation.
In the hotels, they have a seam every single night in the hotel, so they can serve meat. Every hotel, they have a seam every night, so they serve meat. Okay, so you found the solution for the meat. Excellent. You have a seam every single night. That's not a nice thing to do. To go make a seam every night. People in the hotel. You go to hotels. They'll go. Oh, I'm sure all these hotels. I don't know where they are today. I don't even know the names. There are hotels today. I'm sure there are hotels today. Are there any hotels today? They're all gone.
No,
The Raleigh.
My family was in the hotel business, and during the 9 days, many people left. It was very slow.
It was very slow. So what did they do? I remember years ago the Homowak. I know people would go to the Homowak during the 9 days. They got away. They would go Bedafka during the 9 days because there, you know, there they had food. They had food. So what?
They can't go swimming. They can't.
Right. They can't go. So what about fresh linen? This is the most basic thing if a hotel does. They put down every day. They come in. They change the linen. How do you deal with that?
Well, less often.
You can't wash. No, you can't wash. That's not a problem. They have plenty of linen stashed away. Don't worry about that. What? No! If you have a hotel, and you come to a hotel, and the linen is fresh, and you sure hope it's fresh, you sure hope they change the linen, someone didn't sleep on this linen the night before, how are you allowed to lie down on that bed when you arrive on the 9 days, in the middle of the night, go to a Geisha hotel, Howard Johnson's, Motel 6, what's it called? You come to a non-Jewish hotel, and you arrive, and you they have fresh linen.
It's the Nisano, so what's wrong?
You're not allowed to. It's part of the Takana. You're not allowed to wear freshly laundered garments and Hotsas
so
and
Mitzvah.
What?
Make it schmutzig.
Linen is considered fresh. Yes. 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 It's part of the prohibition. You're not allowed to clean, to freshly launder the linen. So what do you do? So Bishloima, if you start before we arrive the day before Rosh Chodesh, you're going to be there. So then you just tell the service people, don't change it. But let's say you arrive for the very first time. So what do you do? So some want to be lenient and say that since over here the hotel is engaging in a mitzvah called Hachnosas Orchim, they're doing a mitzvah of Hachnosas Orchim. So when you Isaac in a mitzvah, what about you? So you're in oinus. You're in oinus. Because you have nothing else. You can't, what? Towels mutter. Towels is not clothing. Towels, because that's just to clean yourself. That's not, towels can be lenient. Now that you're not able to wash them, but you're allowed to use fresh towels during the 9 days. Because towel is not a garment. It's not a garment.
The linen is a garment?
Yes. It's either it's a takana hoitzoa samita. Okay, so the Ikar Yisrael, let's just review the Yisrael. The Yisrael of the Ikar Yisrael is the problem of fresh clothing. It's a chiddush to most people. It's not because of, primarily because you are, you're wearing nice, comfortable, clean clothing. Everyone knows you put on a fresh garment, you feel good. It's fresh. There's no sweat. There's something that's not the time. That's not the time. The Ikar time is, in order to achieve a state of wearing a fresh garment, you have to clean it. And if we're going to let you wear fresh clothing, that means you're going to automatically clean it, and you're just going to lead to cleaning garments. The primary problem of cleaning garments is it is an activity which is labor intensive, and it takes you out of being in the frame of mind of what these days are all about. That's a tremendous chiddush, because most people don't look at it like that. Most people look at the problem over here as, you know, it's avelos and this and that. Now, what would be an afkamina? An afkamina is you're not allowed to clean clothing even for goyim. Because I'm not going to wear the garments. Now, the truth is, this is a big machlokes. Are you allowed to clean the garments of goyim? So someone, it is incredible, a lot of psychology involved over here. Some will say it's mutter. Why is it mutter? If you're not allowed to clean your own garments because you're being mesiach das, cleaning the clothing of a goy is the same as mesiach das. So what is the answer?
I can't work your
uniform. Oh, exactly. Also this. So the answer is no. You're allowed to, because just like you're allowed to work, you're allowed to go and work, you're allowed to go make a parnasa, it's just melacha. So cleaning the garments of a goy is melacha. Wait a minute. So let me clean my clothing. It's also melacha. It's also no different than going to work. I need to go take care of certain needs that I have. So here comes the chiddush. It's not the same. When you clean, this is psychology. This is psychology, of course, psychology. When you clean your garments for yourself, it's a different cleaning. If I'm going to clean this garment because I'm going to wear this garment, I put my mind into it. I care. I care about it. It's my clothing. I'm going to be wearing this. So I am involved. Chazal, we yorin l'soiv daito yisho. We can't relate to this as man as they can say. We just press buttons. And we're anyway distracted with one of these things which every second, I can't speak for you, lot, Ramesh, addicted. So today we live in a different world. But in the world of Chazal, they were yorin l'soiv daito yisho. When you clean your clothing, you get involved. You get involved because it's my clothing. And that involvement is mesiach das. When you do the exact same activity of cleaning the clothing of a non-Jew, I couldn't care less. I'll do a great job. I'll do a better job for you, the girl, than for myself. But it doesn't mean anything to me because it's not mine. It's just work. You want to make a parnasa during the 9 days? Of course you can work during the 9 days. It's not mesiach das. However, halacha l'mayis, so the most poskim hold that it's forbidden because of maris ayin. People who are seeing you clean clothing, it's not relevant to it. You know, today, you know, whatever, it's a different world today. They're not going to know if it's your clothing, someone else's clothing, and they're going to be suspicious, and one thing will lead to another. So the bottom line is you're not allowed to even clean clothing with someone else. Now here's a tremendous chiddush from the Beis Halevi, the Rav Shmuel, Shmuel Wozner, and he said, what happens if a person does not have a clean pair of pants? I don't have a clean pair of pants. My pants are all dirty. I'm not going to wear, they smell, they're stained. I will not wear a clean shirt. I don't have. So I'm an oinus. So what should I do? So I'll go and I'll take it. I'll put it in the washing machine.
Supposedly it's better to buy in here.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So the Beis Halevi holds, Shevi holds, better buy a new suit. Buy yourself a new suit during the 9 days, then take your clothing and clean them. Why? So today we don't make a shachiyanu. Today not everyone makes a shachiyanu. Even if you do make a shachiyanu. That's what he says. So this is because when you yori lo'oim koi shaldavir, understand the halacha, the reason for the halacha, the nafkaminas are just astonishing. What's so terrible about making a shachiyanu? Nothing. So we don't take a shachrer lechatchila. No, but by the way, if something occurs, if an event occurs in your life, you make a shachrer, whether you like it or not. You have a baby. If a baby is born, you make a toiva meitiv shachrer is the same thing. If you have a girl. You make a shachiyon. I forgot all the halakhas. There are times when events happen when you make a shachiyon. Okay, some people by a bris milah. Not even most people don't do this, but there are people by a bris milah make a shachiyon. Pidyon haben. Let's say the pidyon haben comes out during the 9 days. So you make a shachiyon. You're not going to go to 9 days. No, you make a shachiyon. So what's so terrible? Shachiyon Hashem, I thank you. You let me live this long. You don't make a new acquisition that requires you to make a shachiyon. But there's nothing inherently wrong with making a shachiyon. Cleaning clothing, at least in the time of Chazal, was an activity which forced you to shut down from what life is really all about and focus on yourself, on your clothing. It's mesiach das. Between the two, it's clearly a greater problem when you're in oines and you don't have a choice to be mesiach das than to put yourself in a situation of making a shachiyanu. So therefore, buying a new suit, you're going to end up wearing freshly laundered clothing. That's right. You're going to end up doing that. But at least you're not going to, again, you don't have a choice because you can't walk around naked, right? Yeah, I don't have a choice. But that's better than cleaning the clothing. Because cleaning the clothing is the ikur, and wearing the freshly laundered clothing is the gzera. There's nothing really wrong with wearing freshly laundered clothing. It's if you're going to wear freshly laundered clothing, you're going to come to clean the clothing. And cleaning the clothing is an activity which is in essence mesiach das. It takes you away from what you're supposed to be thinking about. So therefore, when push comes to shove, buy a new suit and make a shechiyanu better than actually take your clothing and clean the clothing during the 9 days.
Clothing goods, no cleaner than 9 days?
You cannot.
How about if it's there, can you pick it up? You can't wear it.
You can pick it up, but you can't wear it. You can pick it up.
How about a Jew who owns a cleaning store? You can't have it.
A Jew can do it for non-Jews. A Jew, that's the whole machlis, it's a maris ayin. Obviously, if it's not married, because there are many going non-Jewish customers, so you can do it, just v'loch, it's work. But a Jew who owns a cleaners can be led. But let's say your clientele are all Jews, you shouldn't be doing it. The cleaners that I use, they shut down during the 9 days. They close during the 9 days, completely closed. Because 99% of their clientele are from Jews. You go to a place, you know, not like the Chinaman, or, you know, Sandy's in Avenue J. Are they still open on Avenue J, Sandy's? Are you still in business at that store?
Yes.
Sandy's, they're still there?
Yeah.
Yeah? So they're not closing down during the 9 days. Because the clientele, and I assume most of the clientele is not Jewish. I mean, whatever, they don't care, they're going. All right, so this, now what about meat? What are the other restrictions? Here, both sides. So cleaning clothing is really one of the only things that you can't do in the 9 days. I mean, that's really what's unique. That's one of and the reason why it's unique is it's not because he's wearing clothing. It's the halacha behind the reason behind the halacha. It's mesiach das. There are very few halachas of the 9 days. The 3 weeks acquisition, that's shachiyam. Cleaning clothes, not eating meat. So not eating meat, not drinking wine, that's another halach. There's another in halach. Not listening to music, that's not really part of the 9 days. There's nowhere in Shulchan Aruch does it say that you're not allowed to listen to music during the 9 days. Not listening to music is also the entire year. The entire year. It's a gzeirosh and roiv hatzibur yecholim lamoid boy, so it was not accepted. But at least during the 9 days and during the 3 weeks, we do what we really should be doing the entire year. So that's not unique to the 9 days and 2 weeks. What is the only halacha of yayin and basar? No. You don't drink, that's exception. You're allowed, that's an exception. This is Shabbos. this Mitzvah Shabbos, so there are different customs. In Shulchan Aruch it says that you should drink beer. You should make Avdallah on beer. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that this halacha of the Ramah does not apply to Zman Hazeh, because the time of the Ramah, they never drank wine. Wine was very, very expensive. They always made Havdalah every Mitzvah Shabbos on Chamar Medina, on beer. So therefore, if you every Mitzvah Shabbos you're making Havdalah on beer, you should not punt Mitzvah Shabbos during the nine days to make Havdalah on wine. But if you make Havdalah on wine every single Mitzvah Shabbos throughout the year, of Moshe finds and holds there is no restriction whatsoever. It is permitted l'chatzila to make Havdalah on grape juice. And if you make Havdalah every Mitzvah Shabbos on grape juice, Rav Moshe Feinstein says there is absolutely no restriction whatsoever l'chatzila you can make Havdalah on grape juice or wine. It's only for the time of the Ramah when the custom was to make Havdalah the whole year on beer. So now don't go out of your way. Oh, the whole year I make Havdalah on beer. Now during the 9 days I want to go out of my way and make Havdalah on yain. That's not right. So you can make Havdalah, if this is what you do the whole year, you can make Havdalah this Mitzvah Shabbos on, I think most people here make Havdalah Mitzvah Shabbos on grape juice. So you make Havdalah on grape juice, there's no difference. I know you'll see in some of the yeshivish circles, no, Mitzvah Shabbos, you don't make, I have the yayin and they give it to the child to drink. All right, listen, the people, there are people who disagree. They hold that it says in the Ramah, you're not supposed to make Havdalah on yayin during the 9 days. You should make it on beer, so they're going to make it on Chamar Medina, or they're going to give the Havdalah to a child to drink. Okay? Well, that's the custom. In Kabbalah, Mekabah. But many that I know follow Rav Moshe, and they make Havdalah Mitzvah Shabbos on wine, the same exact thing they do the entire year. Nadim Yayin, Ya Basar, Ein Simcha Ella Bebasar. Basar is something which gives you joy. Basar gives you joy. Yayin gives you joy. So being that it says Mishnichnas Av Mematin B'Simcha, since Be'etzem Yayin and Basar are foods that bring a person Simcha, Ein Simcha Ella B'Bas B'Samachta B'Chagecha. Chazal say it means Besar Kodoshim. You eat Basar. Basar is a food item which gives joy. Yayin V'Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh. Therefore, the minig is not to drink Yayin, not to eat Basar. Others want to say that it's also an extension of that we don't have korbanos. If Hashem's mizbeach is lacking basar, how could your table have basar? If Hashem's mizbeach does not have the yayin shel nisachim, how can your table have upon it yayin? So therefore we have to be mishtatef in the tsar of Hashem, the same way his shulchan, his mizbeach, does not have the basar v'yayin. We also do not have basar v'yayin, at least during these 9 days. Now, going back to clothing, although I've told you the main reason of Hesach Hadas, we should be aware there are opinions that say that wearing clothing during the 9 days is also in its own right. Because wearing nice, freshly laundered clothing is simcha. It makes you feel good. In fact, goes back more Kabbalistic reasons, goes back to the chait of the Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, Hashem made for Adam, made after the chait Eitz Hadas, Hashem made for Adam and Chava, kosnos or vayal bishay. And in essence, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made for Adam and Chava clothing, it was Hashem's way of saying, I forgive you. Let's move forward. You did a terrible Avera, you ate from the Eitz Hadas, you brought upon this world death and problems. Okay, let's just deal with what we have and move forward in life. I'll make for you clothing, we'll go now to plan B and we'll proceed ahead in life. Tisha B'Av, during the 9 days, is not a time for plan B. It's time to mourn and reflect over the tragedy of how we have damaged plan A. So by not wearing freshly laundered clothing and wearing shmatis, it's an acknowledgement that we have sinned. And our very first chait was the chait of the Eitz Hadas. And when you don't wear freshly laundered clothing, you're basically replicating that Adam and Chava were Eirumim Vayis Voishoshu. You're embarrassed. If you go to a wedding and you're wearing shmatas, and everyone is wearing their best clothing, you're embarrassed. Not wearing fresh, clean clothing is a busha. It's like you're not wearing clothing altogether. When did it happen that we did not wear clothing? When were we embarrassed of our lack of clothing? Chet, the chet eitz hadas. Now, during the 9 days, is a time to reflect. Umipnei chatoenu golinu me'artzenu. And therefore, in addition to the concept of hesach hadas, it is an activity which sets the tone for the 9 days. Not nisiach das. There's another element of Adam and Chava were eirumim naked vayisbay shosh. We want to bring that bush upon us. One last prat. What about children? There's a very big hakpad that children also should not wear freshly laundered clothing. Why? They don't know what's going on, children. What about children under the age of chinuch, 5 years old, 4, 3? There's also a degree. Why? There's also, because there's a halach in Hilchas Avelos. It's a very unique concept. The whole clothing takes on a whole life of itself. It doesn't have a parallel in halacha. If a chmona litzon is a yosan, a child, it's under the age of chinuch, that lost a parent, does this child, do they rip his clothing?
No.
Under 6 years old?
No.
They do. There's no chinuch. There's a special halacha that a child that is under the age of chinuch, you rip his clothing, you follow him, you do to him all the halachas. Why? Not because of him. Because he doesn't know what's going on anyway. He's not chayiv. It's for the adults. Called agmas mibnei shochanorch agmas nefesh. In order that the adults should experience agmas nefesh, you walk into a base oval and you see a child that's sitting on a low chair whose shirt has been cut. So the kid is not high in this. He's too little. He doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't really appreciate what's going on. It doesn't matter. It's not for him. It's for the adults. The adults who walk into that room and see this, they should feel the pain. Agmas nefesh. They should suffer. A person dies young and leaves over Yisoyimim. How did this happen? Umipnei chatoenu. How did this happen? Who's going to take care of this kid? Who's going to raise him? Who's going to pay his tuition? Who's going to take care? The tzibur has an achrayus to feel agmas nefesh. Therefore, there's a hakpada that when it comes to children during the 9 days, they also have to follow the rules. Oh, but they're children, you know, let's find some dispensation for them, this and that. No, it's not for the children. It's for the adults. It's a zman of avelus. And in the zman of avelus, there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch that says that because of the principle of agmas nefesh, the children have to play their part. Not because they know what's going on or they need to. The adults have to feel the pain. And that extends into the 9 days. There are a lot of restrictions that are imposed upon children. Not because the children really need these restrictions, because the adults need to feel the pain, the principle of agmas nefesh, because the 9 days is the zman of avelus. Okay, that's the shir. Thank you for listening. Have a good day. That's another thing. Another time. Another time.